Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Welcome to episode 70 of Hat Chat with your hosts. I'm Chris Trott.
Hi, Chris. I'm Ross Hornby.
I'm Alex Smith. We'll be here to take you through the next 40 minutes or so, where we discuss outlandish things, interesting conundrums, and outrageous news.
Yes.
Outrageous.
It's wild. Three echo-chambered, white, privileged male, middle-class men from the southwest of England. We'll tell you how to live your life and share our obviously superior opinions about everything.
Is that what we've been doing? We've been telling people how to live their lives.
Subconsciously, I think you should be doing this.
Not my own life. You kind of get it by proxy, right? You kind of get it by proxy, you listen to something and then form your own opinion on it, I suppose, and that then informs your life. We're not really telling them how to live their lives. We're demanding it from them.
But we're expecting it at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're making it very clear that not sharing our lifestyle and our opinions is a bad thing. So it's by, you know, reverse psychology almost, really.
Well, people keep on paying us for it, so
that's the thing.
That's true. And thanks, patrons, supporting us on patreon.com/hatfilms. And also huge thanks to our Fingal creator today, a nice bossa nova style by Nick Latham. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but they have a little website too.
I think it's bossa nova, demeaning,
but it's not. It's nicklatham.net if you want to check him out. Not Lick Latham.
Oh, it's nice. That's cute. The little people were doing stuff, isn't it, Trot?
Little people.
Oh, I got a little website. Look at that.
He's got himself a website. What year is it? 2009?
I bet he used one of those things like square site.
Oh, look at that. He's got tic-tac-toe in the bottom right. Like that. Oh, it's GeoCities.
That's the copyright-free version. Square site.
And square site. Because we aren't sponsored by anyone yet.
No.
Still.
And they sponsor everybody.
They sponsor everyone. Why aren't they calling us? Like, desperately.
We did have a cold call email the other day about doing some manscaping products. Yeah. I did see that. But
yay. Let's scape our man. Cool.
We'll see.
Right.
Anyway.
Let's get on to the actual important stuff of Hat Chat Podcast. It's the thing that everyone literally are gagging to listen to. It is the hypotheticals of this week.
Of course.
As voted on by our wonderful, I will say it again, Patreon supporters. Again, they can't lift us up high enough. Our ego is through the roof. They are literally paying us to do this Hat Chat Podcast specifically. So thanks to our patron supporters for voting on this following question. Please, Alex Smith.
The first question today is, which parallel universe versions of yourself would you want to meet and why?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Is this based on the idea that there are infinite versions of ourselves, so every version we could potentially meet in another reality could exist, right?
This is like the Rick and Morty, this is just fantasizing about what you could be
essentially
if you want but why would you want to meet that fantasized version of yourself
is probably the real question.
Well, I guess it depends, because obviously there's infinite kind of universes in that mentality, right?
So your imagination isn't infinite, so what's the first thing that comes to mind? For me, it would be a bird person version of myself.
But immediately, that's the first thing I thought of.
I thought somewhere there's a version of me that's like a lot like me, but its face is more bird-like. So like probably like my nose is a beak.
then it got a mouth. A human
and then I got
mouth.
A human mouth. The beak is very much in the way of the mouth.
That's such a weird image.
You've got a mouth and a beak.
We're like halfway evolving. Like the, right. the beak
so
is
you're mid evolution. You've got
what a state.
And you're aware of it. You're aware that what you're mid evolution as well.
Oh, here he is.
Yeah. A couple million more years, he'll be a little bit better, honestly. Trust.
Can you smell? Yeah. The beak takes the nose. What's your vision like?
Not good. Yeah,
not good. It's wow, like, this is the universe you want to live in.
It's a really big, like, hornbill beak as well. Like,
it's
like
got these two
it like comes
eyes.
Up to, like, here.
Are
it's like halfway
eyes?
Up my forehead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Human eyes front that are facing. Struggling. They're struggling for real estate. There's just no space left on my face. They're slightly. They're like a bit like a pug's eyes. They're like slightly off angle, right?
Oh, no.
So
oh,
they're like.
God.
This is just like a Cronenberg like monster. Yeah.
Out of the yeah. infinite what a parallel universe is that the fucking guy you want to meet?
Because I would just be like, what's it like? I mean, I will say that there's
to like to be a bird
really,
person.
Really bad.
Yes.
I could have gone to the reality where the evolution had finished, you know, the process yeah, is sure. over. But I decided to go to a reality where there's a bit between becoming a really yeah. effective, evolved individual. It involves having both a beak and a mouth. But
and what's happening
like,
in that reality as well? I mean,
but
is
no, this is the real reason I yeah, wanted okay. to do it before I really thought about the idea of a mouth and a beak on the same face.
Yeah.
Was that they could fly. So they're a bit like Arakocra from D&D.
One benefit, yeah.
You know, they have wings. And so like okay. the whole world is based on the idea that human beings can fly. So like the whole world is like reordered. I imagine there's a lot more
wings.
Verticality in the world.
You see, yeah. See, I'd rather not need wings, so I'd be like a Superman-esque person.
Right, yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
need to piss or shit.
So the laws what of physics that? In your world are different universe, as well.
Laws of out, physics different, out yeah. Window, yeah. I don't need right. to piss or shit. I consume
Never.
Food, as much food as I want. It's all enjoyable.
Where does it go?
Stuff. Doesn't need to go anywhere.
You just
it just disintegrates
the
within me.
Superhero version of yourself.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
You're not pissing or shitting. That's a big deal.
What?
That's time saved.
What is the
so
energy
you want to not defecate. It's
mm-hmm. disintegrates. There's a part of my body that just literally pulverizes it until it's nothing. Maybe I can fart.
Are they like real?
Just,
they're
just
like really
fun,
dense. They're super dense. Because like, that's the
dense,
only way.
Filthy, stinky farts. But. Maybe there's a device in this time where you can just suction that up in some way. You've got a little... And you can store it, maybe, for other energy usage. Or
what
maybe that's the energy source.
Is it super?
This
that's
reality.
The energy source of the world, is these yeah. hyper-compressed, energy-dense yeah. farts.
So you can store them in a battery cell or something, or maybe just... that the bathroom is now replaced with a little kind of
right.
Suction system, which you just turn it on and just release a really... God awful fart, and you're like, God, yeah, that's power in the house for another day.
Power in the house.
I feel like in this world as well, you would see farts. You could probably see yeah. them; they'd be visible.
Mm-hmm. You'd right? hope so.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, is that a trade-off you want? You don't have to poop or pee, but yeah. everyone can see your farts.
Yeah, I think as long as you could have more, a bit more control
normal,
over your
right?
farts, rather than just like, oh shit, oh God, I hope no one knows. I just farted in a lift because it's just
well, yeah, they can't see
out.
Anymore. The lift is full of. Opaque gas, noxious
energy gas. Can we yeah. just some usable gas?
Can you
highly
see
flammable?
A wider spectrum of light, Ross.
I think that would be
like
useful,
gamma.
Especially as I can also fly without wings. I'll
so
point out.
Filling up an elevator
wings,
with...
and guess what, motherfuckers? I've got gills.
You got gills.
I'm going That's into true. The ocean.
You're going into the ocean.
Yeah, and pressure doesn't affect me either, so I can go right up to the space.
Yeah.
No worries. Because they don't talk about that in Superman. They don't talk about the pressure differences. They
yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's strong, so sure, whatever. But, like, he has, you know, there's cavities inside him. Surely that makes a difference.
I mean, you're right.
Are the
yeah,
gills
like,
visible?
Yeah.
Because I think that would be off-putting.
Can you breathe
depends.
Air as well?
Just, like,
is
hidden?
This a water world scenario? Can you
yeah,
breathe
yeah,
both?
Yeah, so yeah, if you've got gills, you can just, yeah, as long as the water's flowing, you're sorted. I think if you stay still for too long underwater, you may drown.
Why would you have, like, gills and lungs, Ross? If you're choosing not to shit and piss, why not just choose not to breathe?
That's a very good point.
Instead of adding gills to your body.
Because they're pretty gross.
Oxygen, not, okay, well, yeah, fine. No oxygen either. No external thing needs to affect my body.
Thank you.
I'm That's a supreme better. Being in this scenario.
I just don't want gills on you, honestly.
And why would you want to meet yourself? What would you ask them?
Sorry, what would I ask them?
Well, the other part of it is why would you want to meet them?
Mainly just to see how it all, what their life's like. Are they successful? Does it matter? Because your body's sorted, so that's one thing you don't need to worry about, you know? You don't need to really worry about food necessarily. Although I guess you do, because it's going to be turned into energy, so food is still an issue.
Yeah, you have to eat, technically, otherwise the whole country runs out of power.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying, really. It's quite a lot of pressure.
Social responsibility, yeah.
What would you think you'd bulk out the majority of your food day with?
Steaks, heavy, like big steaks. Steaks won't affect my heart. Obviously, it's strong, like untouchable. I will be invincible.
Right.
Steak power.
Okay.
But then the earth that heats up because they're trying to feed you steak all the time, and all the cows are producing all of this greenhouse emissions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're still on the road to ruin, ultimately. Mm.
Yeah, well, the world hasn't really changed that much in this one.
You kind of wasted your time.
Yeah, same thing,
I've wasted my time. What do you mean?
The superhuman wasted their time deciding to go visit, like, a really lesser version of himself in a parallel universe instead of farting to create energy for that day. You've now wasted a whole day of energy by just visiting you. That's the fleshy version that has lungs, that has to breathe, that
you
shits.
Can still waste your time in this reality. You know,
you're gonna go crazy in it as well, though. Like eventually, when the Earth ends and you're still alive, I guess you can just go and find another planet.
But this is the thing: you can fly, and pressure doesn't affect you, so you can just dart around in space like a ping pong ball until you find a pinball is what I mean. Until you find a planet that you really enjoy.
It sounds like
go to the sun. Do you think? I think my skin is also impenetrable by UV rays,
of course.
Right.
Which is hence the tone. It's just pure white.
Right.
And I think that's just immortal being.
Is that just the species of that universe? Is that just how evolution ended up for that Ross?
Yeah, it's just one of the alternate universes. It's just a universe where Earth is inhabitable by people with gills and can fly without wings and have farts instead of shins.
Insane. Imagine
what about you, Trot?
Well, obviously, I would like to meet a version of us that got enlisted in some sort of experiment of merging three bodies into one, with one becoming the dominant mind of it all. So in this universe, it's us three got... Actually, we didn't volunteer. We were kidnapped and put into this experiment.
Oh, of
course.
Just
want to make it clear.
Very Deadpool.
I didn't really want this in this alternate universe. Our bodies got merged into one with some vestigial arms and stuff of you two. So there's a couple extra, like, little tiny arms and legs and stuff that I really don't want. But I become the dominant personality with you two as thoughts in my brain. That's the alternative reality.
You'd want us as thoughts in your brain?
Why would you want us there? Well, I mean, I guess this is...
I don't want it.
Why? Well, you've fantasized about it just now.
Yeah, I think it would just be interesting to see
what do you mean?
Considering the struggles that we went through living in a house together, just imagine like that to the next level where you're sharing a body.
Mm.
What struggles did we really have other than
the food bin out?
The food bin is literally all I can remember was who's going to do it? It's like, oh, God.
Also, our habits were awful. We had a lot of pizza. We stayed up until
we'd eat Domino's
4 a.m.
like what, 3 days a week?
We woke
probably
up at like 2 p.m. some days. It was really
bad.
Life
like students. That's a student lifestyle. You have to have those phases, don't you? To then realize, go through
I'm
the other side.
I'm amazed that we could eat three pizzas a week, honestly.
I don't remember it being that often. I remember it was frequent, but.
It was our go-to of like when everyone was like nobody really had been to the supermarket recently.
Yeah.
Or like, because you know we used to go to group supermarket shopping as well. Remember when we did that? I feel like a lot of the time we just be like, just get a Dominic, because it was so cheap back then as well. Like, yeah. if you're ordering a lot, for it's three, cheaper. Yeah.
It's so easy for one of us to be like, I fancy the other two fancy. Instantly. Dominoes have fallen. We're all in. It's group mentality. Yes, let's get this. Is the best idea we've ever had. Thank God you're the one to take that step for us. Thank you. I salute you. Another
I mean, it
pizza.
Was also. I mean, we also worked until like 5 a.m. So like, it's very different.
It was weird having dinner at like 1 or 2 a.m., wasn't it? Like, that was strange when we'd cook whole dinners like really late, and it felt normal because we were just like
recording like random vocalizations for a Pokemon song.
Our
neighbors just must have
the weird
really
things
been
we made for Minecraft. Yeah,
we just carried on our uni lifestyle, I think, in that house. Essentially, me and
Ross, we were
straight
all
off the back.
Smith had like a year break and then went back to it.
He couldn't wait to get back in to that lifestyle.
I don't have to go to work at 8 a.m. anymore. Or, I mean, fucking college was the worst one. I had to get up at like 6:45.
All of that is the recipe for how we're here today, so it's all good. It's all good. True. I wouldn't poo-poo it.
Eat more Dominoes. Would you say more Dominoes, perhaps?
No. I don't think that's the answer.
There was enough? You think
that
was enough?
Thankfully, I can't remember the last time I had Dominoes, so that's good. Right now,
that's good. I think last time we had
it in terms of memory, or
I probably had one yesterday.
There you go.
We had it when we were at that studio that time. I remember that's the last time I had it, when we were at that studio recording something.
What studio?
With the Dead Nuts, when we did the live stream from that studio.
Ages ago.
That was the last time I had
Dominoes. That was pre-pandemic.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't like Dominoes. I've eaten a lot of other pizza in that time, don't get me wrong. But
just Papa John's.
I mean, I just don't like none of the fast food stuff anymore. Really does it for me. It just makes me feel fucking
past
awful.
Fast food.
I haven't moved past fast food. No way. I love McDonald's and KFC and stuff like that. And I won't turn down. Right. I won't turn down a slice of Domino's, but I've just found a way to not really want it anymore, I guess, by telling myself that.
So that doesn't exist in your universe?
No, Domino's doesn't. No. McDonald's still very much does.
How do you even eat? Are you eating through which mouth?
Pizza would actually be a really good meal choice, wouldn't it, for a person who has both a large beak on where their nose should be and a human mouth beneath it? Because you could like...
feed the slice underneath, yeah.
Yeah. And then what do you think the beak could be used for hard foods and the mouth could be used for drinking as well? So you could like you could literally do like a pint of beer and a packet of nuts at the same time. You pour the nuts into the beak and the beer into the mouth, and you're just like,
one thing I can't.
Can you imagine the amount of chewing that would be going on?
The sound would be horrifying.
You've got two mouths essentially, right? Yeah. Like one you look up and look up underneath your beak. There's a jaw, right? Like a little beak. Mouth.
Yeah. So, like, obviously a beak is two parts. Yeah. So
it's not just the top part.
It's like under here that curls
it's not
up.
Hollow. And then...
Did you explain why you wanted
to
meet
a little
this
tongue in there?
Well? I don't think we asked you why you wanted to meet
a little tongue.
Person.
Yeah, like it's like a parrot's mouth. Imagine a parrot's mouth.
I'm picturing a parrot's mouth.
Why
yeah.
would I want to meet him?
Well, yeah. The question says, yeah, which parallel universe version of yourself
I mean,
would you
why
want to meet?
You want to meet that?
And yours is the beak. That's a good point. Like. Do I really want to meet the Superman version of myself? Like, who cares?
You just feel like a piece of shit, Ross, knowing that you could
never
be that.
I wish I had these abilities.
Yeah. Now, no, I'd meet him because I'd just be like, this is crazy.
Just like, morbid.
Like, this is a version of me that isn't necessarily any better off. I mean, the flight would be very cool. I'd love to be able to fly. Yeah. But I'd be like, you know, there are swings and roundabouts here. Not everything's rosy. It's not like I'm in the worst reality here. And I mean, also, half bird me, wouldn't know any different either. So they'd just be like, yeah, it's crazy. Like my mouth and my center of my face, there's another mouth of sorts.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, that must be nuts. And he'd be like, no, it's normal.
It's just
but have you got
standard,
any nuts?
Yeah. I guess,
because he loves his beer and nuts.
You mentioned nuts there.
Of course.
Have you got them?
Sorry, I also have bird-like tendencies now as well. So like I like seeds. I eat balls of fat in the winter. I'm scared of other larger birds.
Oh, and right.
Sometimes
so you're part of the food chain still.
You like foraging as well? You like hunting for your own food?
I love eating all those red berries at winter time. other people are always told not to eat because they're poisonous. You know, right. When you were growing up, and they see all these delicious
red beads.
Yeah, red ones. Delicious red berries in the bushes at winter, and everyone's like, "Ooh, don't eat them! You'll die! You'll shit blood out your ass!" And I'm like, "Well, all the birds are having loads of fun. Like, they're all like, oh yeah, yeah." And I'm like, "I'm jealous. I'm
like
jealous."
A birdsmith. It's like, "Hey, mate, just before I go back to my universe, this one's for you, buddy." And he puts one of those little red berries in his beak and he winks at you.
And I'm like, "You've got it made, man." And then I get sucked back into this sort of wormhole.
Yeah.
like sliders.
What's happening politically in that world? Is it a utopia? Is everything fine? The payoff is, the real punishment is the fact that you're now a bird in the sense that you have to forage for your own food.
It's strictly it's a hierarchy big time, because birds think in terms of verticality, don't they? Like they see the world in height rather than distance, but I imagine we see the world kind of based on how tall we are, right? That's it. We're kind of set there. Or we go up in a high building sometimes, or we go up in a plane and we're like, whoa, usually exactly the ground. Fucking high up, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We're grounded, right, exactly. But these guys, they have a much different view of things. So I imagine all of their buildings look like very large tiered cakes. They have lots of tall buildings, right? They love verticality, which means there's much more distance between places. So I imagine they're highly tribal, hugely tribal. And if they go for a fly with their mates and they encounter young from a different tribe, they just peck the living shit out of it until it dies. Wow. Like, it is brutal.
So your birdsmith's lucky to be alive, really. Yeah.
He is. He's clearly, competed well, got a strong unit around him, and just loves nuts.
Can you imagine being a bird that's afraid of heights?
Oh, nightmare. Well, I mean,
you'd be screwed, wouldn't you, really, in terms of travel? Yeah. You could still live on the ground. I mean, there are plenty of birds that don't really fly.
There are. You could be like an emu or an ostrich.
Yeah.
Or a dodo.
Do you want to be an ostrich, mate?
I wouldn't mind being an ostrich, yeah.
I mean, ostriches and emus, they're tough, Yeah. You know, there was a war in Australia called the Emu War.
No, is that...
Would you like to talk about that briefly? Or do we need to do a quick break?
I'd love to, but this hypothetical really took flight.
Nice.
I'd like to take a moment to inject an ad just to ground us again into the harsh reality that we need to monetize this. So see you in a second. Oh, and look at that. It was just a momentary pause for those that are supporting us on Patreon and getting that ad-free version. Or maybe you just weren't served an ad. Lucky, lucky you. Anyway.
That's all right, Nick.
Carry on, Smith. What were you?
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
What was your thought process?
Okay, so we're on to sort of our funny news, interesting story segment of the podcast. And this one was just called the Emu War. So this was, or otherwise known as the Great Emu War, was a nuisance wildlife management military operation undertaken in Australia over the latter part of 1932 to address public concern over the number of emus said to be running amok in the Campion district of Western Australia. The unsuccessful attempts to curb the population of emus, a large flightless bird indigenous to Australia, employed soldiers armed with Lewis guns, which, by the way, are machine guns, leading the media to adopt the name Emu War when referring to the incident. While a number of the birds were killed, the emu population persisted and continued to cause crop destruction. God. But there was a... Yeah. In the 1930s... So
they were just chaining down... They were just really gunning down a bunch of emus.
Yeah. So there was too many emus. Insane. They were becoming... an absolute nuisance.
Does it count as a war if they don't fight back in the same way? Is it just kind of more of a culling? if anything.
Well, it is obviously, yes, you're right. Yeah. That'd be a they're much more sensible
different picture, aren't they?
Wording.
Yeah, it's, like, it's
the war. The emus fought back. They attacked us. They militarized. Yeah. Down. Yeah, if they went down there and started punching them and like kind of fist fighting them, there's a bit more of a chance there. But this was just a brutal culling.
Yeah,
machine guns.
Clearly.
Well, I mean, you've got to think about the thought process, right? So this is, it only lasted from the 2nd of November to the 10th of December, right?
Oh,
so like just over a month, they were like, so we're going to go out there, everybody, and we're going to shoot the emus with these machine guns, and that everyone's like, what?
Can I come?
All right, yeah, let's go, because this is the 19. This is 1932, so this is between major world wars. So I imagine people had a bit of a taste for it, or were rather getting bored. And then they had these Lewis machine guns that they were using, I think, in World War One to start with, or and they just went out and shot loads of giant flightless birds with them, which it's just a bit bonkers, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
imagine that now. Imagine like, right, we've got loads of deer. Just like our country has like. Loads of deer, right? The UK has too many deer. They're causing problems, right? So that's like our government going, we're going to send the army out with M249 saws, you know, and just shoot at them.
Yeah. If you hear gunfire, that's what it is.
Don't
be alarmed. That's us culling.
It starts at midnight every night.
Yeah, no, that's a few deer gone.
You'd hope. Jeez. Anyway. The price of the bullet to the taxpayer. Fuck, I missed that one. Hold on. Give another squirt.
Careful, it counts as a bind.
Oh,
at night time, I like to go up on the hillside and watch it happen.
Not much countryside around here.
Keeping things on a
bean.
Yeah. You can eat emus. You can eat emus.
Quite
you can
gamey,
use their,
I imagine.
Probably. Yeah. There's still sort of industrial emu farms in Australia and other places. I can't remember quite what they're for, but they do have a farming purpose, because I remember watching a show where I think it was like a Louis Theroux like show where he goes and meets an emu farmer and catches, I don't think it was Louis Theroux, I think it was somebody else, but you know, they were trying to wrestle the emu. To catch an emu, you've got to like creep up to it and then like literally wrestle it to the ground so you can check it. It's hilarious. Wow. Usually
that sounds like quite
strong,
a funny
beasts
thing.
Oh, they're huge, scary.
Are they as big? Are they bigger than ostriches?
No, I'd say they're very slightly smaller. Yeah, they're very slightly a little bit smaller.
I guess like ostriches, really fucking quick as well.
Yeah, and they got massive, big, strong legs with big claws on them. They got big, strong beaks. Man. I mean, they're an intimidating creature.
Jeez, Australia's an amazing place. If the animals aren't like filled with horrible venom and poison, they're either just willing to fight you, like desperately. Like the kangaroos there. Brick shit houses of power.
Not
it's
all
so
of them.
Bulky.
Not all of them. Sure. Them are. It's but the like, big males.
I remember
like
seeing
that
one where that that guy, I think his dog was being attacked by a kangaroo, and then he ended up fist fighting it.
Oh, he went up and like, just punched it.
He pulled the dog away, and then just literally got into a stance and was ready to start throwing punches with a kangaroo.
And then the kangaroo
was fucking built, man. And then they'll use their legs, and they've got long fucking claws.
That's scary.
Like. Yeah, those you wouldn't want to fight a kangaroo.
The big male kangaroos are gigantic. Yeah,
yeah.
They are huge. You don't want to fuck around with them.
And then they
cut your belly, so
they're poisoning you.
Like one of the things that they do as well, kangaroos, they can disembowel you. So
of course, what, slice across the
stump around across the intestinal area. What they do is they'll lever back onto their big strong tail and then fire their really strong legs out at you with their claws and try and sort of hit you in the abdomen area. And people in Australia have been, you know, gutted by these bloody things. Equally, they do stuff like if you hit them with a car, they come up over your bonnet and they've kicked through the glass, windscreen glass before, and killed drivers that way as well.
Oh my God.
Don't fuck around with emus and ostriches, folks. Yeah. They are dangerous.
Mess you up.
It seems like everywhere
and so
else.
Sorry,
everyone,
and so are kangaroos.
Yeah, everyone looks at kangaroos as if they're like obviously cutesy. And, oh, look, they got a little pouch. They're young. That's really cute.
Isn't it?
But all the videos I've seen since then have said otherwise, and that they are just a menace. If you see them out and about, run the other way.
I mean, it's a large animal. Yeah,
yeah.
Like any large animal can do damage to you. But keeping it on a military theme, as you know, I like to be. That was obviously the Emu War we were talking about there.
The Great Emu
Something
War.
Interesting happened recently. This was literally posted 2 hours ago on the BBC.
Wow. Very current.
Fresh. That's very fresh news for at chat.
It caught my eye because I've just finished watching Vigil, which is this thing on the BBC, which is it's basically a murder mystery on a submarine. It's all right. It started off really good. The set is really cool. But I watched the last episode last night and I was a bit like, nah. Anyway, check it out maybe. This is about a submarine. So a US nuclear submarine hit an unknown object while submerged in waters in the Asia Pacific region, injuring a number of sailors, US officials say. Wow. So it's not clear what caused the incident on Saturday. The submarine remained fully operational, but unnamed officials, I don't really know how this works, but unnamed officials told US media the collision happened in international waters in the South China Sea, which is, and the 11 sailors have been injured. What do you think they hit?
Well, this is the thing, because they said, I read the article earlier on, and they said that it wasn't another submarine, so they can rule that one out. But I'm more interested in the fact that they reported this at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is the type of thing that no one would know about. It's a submarine issue. Like, you'd think they would just be like, oh, this is just for us to know. Like, how else would who's investigating this? So who needs to know this information right now? Obviously, some people got injured, but, like, maybe that's it. Maybe they're worried that it's going to get out based on the people who were injured.
Yeah.
So they bumped into something. It shook the submarine to a point where some people fell or got injured or...
Well, there's like here saying that they must have been moving quite quickly. So Alexander Neil, a Singapore-based defense and security expert, told the BBC the number of injuries caused by the collision suggested the submarine probably hit something very big and was going very fast. The thing is, right, they can detect, submarines and crews regularly listen for things like pods of whales or stuff.
Oh, you imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, because they are an object. They are. Yeah, a lot of the time I think the whales and things are intelligent enough to dodge this weird large object riding through the sea. But no, they definitely do. They monitor every sound they hear. And so they will listen to whales. What's really cool is some of these submarines, depending on their specification, can go up to like 30 knots like underwater, which is fast, you know. I don't know, they might have been trying to be sneaky, so they wouldn't have been moving that quick. But this analyst says, well, if it hits something hard enough to cause damage to 11 people, like you say, getting knocked forward or something, whatever happened, then they must have been moving at some pace, so they probably weren't running silent. And 30 knots is quick. 30 knots is, you know, it's a little bit more than 30 miles an hour, and in the sea
feels
quick, really fast. Kind of interesting. I wonder what it was. I wonder if
are you trying to figure out if it's a tic tac or some sort of alien technology? Maybe
they might have just hit
maybe Godzilla's
rock
under there as well.
They could have just hit the seabed or some form of like bottom.
You'd think
of
that
something
they would say that though, because if they knew, like, if they genuinely got hit by something, they would investigate almost. That's what I mean. If it's embarrassing as well, like, how would it even get reported out of a fucking submarine?
Yeah.
Like, who's calling back to home going, just hit something, but it's a rock. So
it's a really good question. So what is the reason exactly? So is this it's not unheard of for navies and defense ministries to shape news based on what they want their adversaries to hear, right? Sure. So, like, you know, same can be said of the space race and things like that. When you're in competition in an environment like this, they'll often say things to mislead or make other people think things.
What if it's an orca? The Chinese trained orcas with guns on their head, attached to their head, and lasers.
Now
and
we're
they've
talking.
Trained them to kind of sneakily kind of get out, I don't know where their radars might see, and then just bat, like, bosh it around. So they're like, what the hell was that? That felt targeted.
See,
or they'll just
I'm
go,
excited.
Oh, we just hit a whale, it's fine. And then they'll just move on because they're like, it's just a whale. But we controlled, and, you know, I mean, if they can do that stuff with, you know, the SeaWorld, they can do it in the real world.
What if it's
world.
An alien entity, right, that is mostly in a gaseous form until it can suddenly become physical at any moment and then instantly disperse into gas again.
Right.
So the sonar and detected sensors would never pick it up.
Yeah.
I think they would because they can monitor water salinity and also density, temperature. I mean, like, submarines are...
We're going to have to get on that
again,
submarine
I've been very much into submarines recently. I've really, really been, you know, on that hype.
You keep mentioning you want to build one, which, again, I feel is
terrifying.
Out of our remit.
Oh, it is. It is. But, like, they monitor everything. It's basically like a massive sensor, like, running along the inside the ocean. And because they're in water, they have like a really good medium for like tracking things. Like, so they would be able to sense things like gaseous alien ships. But it's an interesting idea.
Well, you'd think
they'd be able to hear a rock. Yeah.
Do submarines normally spend a lot of time close to the bottom of the sea?
No.
No. Okay.
That would be
my
unless they're just in, I don't know, corals maybe? I don't know what's...
No. They try and stay in waters where they have lots of lateral movement, you know? Because, like, there's certain points at which, sonar and the ways that ships on the surface can hear them. So there's something called a layer, ultimately. Think of it as a layer. I can't remember the full name of it, but it's... There's a point in the ocean where the density or the salinity, the amount of salt or whatever that's in the water, changes. And that changes how sound and waves and things move through it because of the change of density. So they can use it as a way to hide or distort where they are for the ships. The ships on the surface are trying to bomb them. They're trying to kill them. So they can use all of that difference in density and distance to evade and attack things. So yeah, they wouldn't want to be like right on the ground. Probably there's it's a bit dangerous. Yeah. A Pison Klein or something Klein thermocline layer, is it called? Anyway, yeah.
We're pretty certain it's aliens.
Well, we're almost 100% certain it's aliens. Yeah, course, but yeah. I mean, we need to
be able to detect anything else, Ross. And exactly. If it was a teleporting alien, like a rift in the space time, that's the only thing that could really bump into a submarine without it noticing, right?
Maybe it's the French just going out and dropping breeze blocks because they're pissed off.
Breeze blocks.
Well, you know how the French were really pissed off that the Australians are now building reportedly better submarines with other people. Yeah. I mean, it is worth mentioning that as well. I've seen a couple of quite informed takes on it from people who are like ex-submariners and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, it's really bad, obviously, for the French. But ultimately, the submarines that they were making weren't going to be that good. So,
awkward.
And they were taking ages. They were subpar submarines, yeah. It's interesting, the world of submarines. There we go. That's a brief look into...
Watch out. Look out if you're near any kind of open water. Mm-hmm. This could be affecting you as well. You might just get grabbed out.
Yeah, be careful out there in your submarines, everybody. That sent me back then, the whole, the French being slow to make their submarines, right back to when I used to work in that helicopter manufacturing factory of Westlands, where I was sat in on so many presentations of them talking about the nitty-gritty of this spec, and then hearing the complaints saying like, God, they're so slow and archaic in Westlands, they still haven't all got computers, and like they make good craft, but my God, it takes them so long to do it. There's these other ones that are making better ones. Yeah, just reminds me of that. And how, like, people in the office were literally like, we could just, like, drag this out another week or two. It's just that when companies become so big and you have so many people working there, it just comes bloated.
And everyone really needs to earn their wage for as long as possible as well. So
you're telling me I need to sit in this seat and rearrange this PowerPoint presentation all day, 9 till 5, for no reason other than, like, I've got nothing else to do. I could put up, like, a mood board in the social gathering room as well, but like I'm literally just there like trying to find stuff to do because they want
loads of jobs. So they just literally, if you're on the payroll, they'll just be like, some shelves around the back that you could probably just take everything off and then put it all back on again if you want.
Yeah, do you want to push everything to the front a little bit?
Well, we can't have you standing around, so I'm gonna make up some jobs actually.
How long are you here for? Another few hours. I thought you did a half day today. Now to find you some work. Sorry if that's too, close to home for anyone.
That was this one is very different, but again it's very funny news in the sense that it involves testicles. So Frankenstein doc who sewed monkey testicles into men to boost sex lives and lifespans. That's where this That's where the headline stops for some reason. It sounds like it's about to explain something. But forget healthy eating and regular exercise. One Frankenstein-style surgeon thought implanting a monkey's testicles into a man's body was the best way to boost his libido, cure constipation, and reverse baldness. I don't know what research has been done there to make that.
I love that image, though. Holy shit. That is a beautiful magazine design. Yeah.
Of a monkey.
Le Petit Journal from 1922.
Balls taken off?
I want to just preface this by saying Daily Star.
It's on the Daily Star, exactly. Right, okay. We take all of these with a pinch of salt.
And that's it. That's the whole article.
It's basically just saying that, yeah, he carried out his grisly work in the early 20th century and just started putting monkey testicles inside of men to see if it would help their libidos and cure baldness. No, it didn't.
Didn't work.
Actually.
Fuck,
I don't think it did. So, I mean, if anything, this is a warning to anyone at home, if you were thinking about grabbing some monkey balls.
You're going to have to cancel the monkey ball surgery.
Let the monkey keep its balls.
No. Tell the zoo they can keep the monkey.
Smith's just on the phone at the moment.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, I just had to cancel.
Oh, you're making sure you had to cancel.
I was getting the procedure done. This is news to me. Okay.
It's 100 years old news.
Oh, yeah, it really I've been reading old. The wrong journals.
You have.
In the early part of his career, he worked with a French experimental physiologist who was also fascinated with the potentially rejuvenating effects of animals' balls.
I mean, I all right, okay, here's a uneducated take on why that kind of makes sense.
Okay.
Because testosterone, right, you think balls, you think testosterone, right? That's what you think.
I think
and
piss.
You're like, testosterone, that's a male hormone, even though I think testosterone is expressed in both males and females, I'm not sure. But you know, you're like, and so you think more balls equals more testosterone, and testosterone does things like give you sex drive, make you strong, do all this other stuff, you know, like, and so you're just like, yeah, how about we get balls from somewhere else? Well, we can't get them from human beings because they want those. So let's take them out of a monkey and stuff them in this other guy.
Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't just monkeys.
Frisky.
They tried other species.
Says he created a serum dubbed the Brown Sicard Elixir, a mixture of crushed up guinea pig and dog testicles, which he bravely or stupidly injected into himself.
Oh my god,
imagine that. Jesus. I mean, obviously this was it's a different time, 1889. Oh, you know, these things happen.
Guess it didn't pan out for him.
No. I don't. Well, it says here in 1889, age 72, he told a newspaper in Paris the disgusting gloop had increased his mental and physical powers, strengthened his urine flow, and improved his ability to evacuate his bowels.
Yeah, sounds like
no one believed these
placebo.
Anecdotal claims.
Sorry, is all of the benefits he's saying is I just piss really hard now? Yeah. Was that what you just described?
With gumption.
I can evacuate and
real force behind my piss.
Gross.
Oh,
you
my
want
God.
That? Of course you do. Guinea pig and dog testicles.
So that's what we'll need.
Straight into the arm.
I've developed a serum.
Oh, well.
Thanks,
that's,
for that,
that's wonderful. Thank you, Ross. That's a wonderful way to wrap up the hat chat of today.
That was disgusting, wasn't it?
Balls. Maybe don't get that surgery, but if you maybe have a think about what parallel universe version of yourself you'd like to meet. And if you have a fingle for us in mind, maybe a little ditty while you're thinking about that, then please send it to our email, hatchat@hat-films.com, much like our fingle creator today, Nick Latham. Thank you very much.
Latham.
Like, all right, Nick Latham. Perfect.
Okay.
And you get to hear the full version now. And obviously you can see our faces on our YouTube channel if you want to see the pictures and stuff that we reference. But other than that, we'll be back next week for episode 71. So have a great bloody time and have a great week. Indeed. Bye, everybody.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.